You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
This is Pop Culture Confidential, and I'm Christina Yerling Biru. Hey everyone, welcome to Pop Culture Confidential, a part of the Evergreen Podcast Network. An unwanted pregnancy, an animated fetus, a film that's often hilarious but also pulls some powerful punches. Ninja Baby is a gem of a movie out of Norway. It's made a splash at festivals from Berlin to South by Southwest, and it's one of Norway's 2021 Oscar submissions. Rakel, or Raquel, played by Christine Thorpe, is a 23-year-old animator who doesn't really have her life together. She's having a good time, she's partying, she's discovering. She finds out she's pregnant, and she's too far along for an abortion. And motherhood is not something she ever wanted. We also meet two men in her life. Moss, her kind Aikido teacher, with whom she's had a one-night stand, and Dick Jesus, as they call him, who she's also had a relationship with. I got to talk to director Yngvild Sve Flike, who co-wrote the script based on an acclaimed graphic novel. We talked about the themes of the film, some not so often depicted this way on screen. We talk about the main character Rakel and that it's okay to not want to be a parent. Motherhood is not for everyone. The surprise reactions from viewers around the world to the male characters depicted in the film, and of course, Ninja Baby himself. The little fetus with the black mask that Rakel draws and he comes to life. She calls him Ninja Baby because it thinks it can chill in there for 9 months and then just sneak out. So Yngvild, thank you so much for being here with me, and thank you for this terrific movie.
Thank you for having me, and it's great to hear that you enjoyed Ninja Baby.
So I thought what we'd do is I want to go through some of the characters and through them talk about the interesting themes that you're working with here. So just starting off, tell me about Rakel.
Rakel was there from the very, very beginning. One of the reasons I'm making films is to kind of broaden the space. You can be a woman and be a man, you know, that show that it's many ways to be both women and men. So she was there from the start. I had an idea or a question in my head. Is it possible to make a fun and crazy and entertaining movie about a pregnancy? And then I remembered Inga Sætre's wonderful graphic novel, The Art of Falling. It was in my shelf. And she also made wonderful cartoons about the grubby girls, which I also really loved. And I wanted to do animation, and she was an animator. So she was actually the first collaborator. And then the way she looks at this topic, female character and Rakel, we're very much in tune on that. So she is normal. I would call her normal, but also maybe a girl that she's free. She's liberated in a way. She is okay with being different, and I would call her quite a normal girl. That's also the reason. This is like a girl we see around us and that we can connect to.
You know what I was thinking? She's really enjoying life. She's happy. She's carefree, mistakes and all, which almost saddened me to think that we don't see that a lot in portrayed in women. You get an occasional Fleabag or Greta Gerwig or things like that, but very seldom do we just see someone really enjoying life the way Rakel is doing here. Why do you think that is?
No, why is it like that? I think it has to do with we really have to start looking around, not only looking at other movies when we create characters, because these characters do exist. And it's, I think also for me, it was important to show not only Rakel, but also the male characters, to show that there is a way of communicating stories and characters in cinema that can be very relatable, and also in a way that you kind of want to be her friend or be without having those because since this also is a comedy, we really had to work on not making her a caricature. I didn't want to make a caricature of this film, but of this character, but really find her and see that and laugh with her and off her, because you can recognize yourself in some ways, you know.
And she loves sex, but she's not interested in motherhood, which is not something that we talk about a lot. You're supposed to be interested in motherhood.
Yeah. And sex is something that there has been a big change since my first feature, Women in Oversized Men Shirts, in 2015, because we now see more characters that do like sex, which I found also very natural, because I think it's always the man who is like the sexual part, but really to show female desire is something that I want to see in cinema, and I want to, because that's normal and life, and also seeing someone who is not interested in motherhood is something that I really started thinking about after becoming a mother myself, of course. When I had two very wanted pregnancies, I was the traditional Scandinavian woman that career and then children after 30 and all of that. And I started thinking, if I became pregnant when I was 23, it would be a disaster, mm-hmm. because I was not in that space. So I started thinking around this, you know, why is it so that for me it would be a disaster at 23 when I definitely was in my most fertile age, but when I was 30 I couldn't get my head off getting that child, you know, that was the one goal. And it's that, and also because I have friends who doesn't want to have children, and I also think it's very important to show characters that take those choices. I didn't want people to feel sorry for her, because that's often what the reactions are when you tell people that you don't want children. It's like, or you don't have children. It's like, oh, I pity you. You really put a lot of your own expectations and feelings on others. And we just need to kind of broaden the way we respect other choices.
And I was also thinking that she is sort of allowed to make mistakes. And I'm going to put mistakes in air quotes here for those who can't see. I mean, mistakes in other people's eyes.
This movie is really about making mistakes, all in all, because I really, it's all, you know, this is something that I brought from the comic book of Inga Sater's comic book, The Art of Falling. In that book, Raquel is 16. She goes to high school, and the male characters are not really in the book. So we did a lot of changes. But in that book, it's this beautiful metaphor, I think, of they're doing Aikido, the martial art form, and then you have to learn how to fall and get back up on your feet. And this is something, when I talk about this film for a younger audience, for high school students, I do talk about that you have to learn to, you have to roll with the punches in a way. You can be, you know, lie under the cover in your bed for a while, but you need to get up and move on. And this is something that you have to learn. Also, older women have to learn, but you get better at it.
Yeah.
The older you get.
So. Well, let's talk about the guys. So there's Dick Jesus and Moss. Tell me about this. Also a very unusual, I mean, it shouldn't be unusual, but it is an unusual take on male characters. Tell me about them.
Yeah, Dick Jesus is presented as a caricature, really, because we see him very much through the eyes of Raquel and her friend Ingrid. And it's them who calls him Dick Jesus. It's not himself.
No.
So it's...
that would be much. You know,
Yeah, but it's the kind of guy that most people have met one time or several in their lives, that is really just like coming, being in a room and taking all the attention and thinking he's the center of the world, you know, like, and thinking that he has a magic dick and that he pleases women perfectly, perfectly, perfectly fine. And then Moss is just a genuine, loving, normal guy, like the friends you have. In a way, he's just the guy who sees other people, who kind of is maybe kind of the opposite of Dick Cheese's in the beginning of the movie. I mean, he and kind of humble and nice with a big heart. He has a big heart.
It's interesting because reading lots of the reviews that came out from your festival run and things like that, people find it unusual to have guys who take responsibility. And these characters really do in their own ways. How have the reactions have been? Have you felt in different countries?
Oh, it's been so interesting. And also, in my very early age, in early 20s, I did study anthropology. And now I'm kind of trying to read the interviews I'm doing, in the south of Europe or in America and in Israel, that I had a Q&A. And it's very interesting to also see how strongly they react, that this is something that they haven't seen before. And I'm like, well, this is normal people in a way. I mean,
in
this
terms
is a
of the
nice
men
guy
particularly, is that they react.
Yeah, and also, yeah, and that it's not
based on gender, I should say, really.
No. And that's the way I like to have it. Mm. I mean, we do all have some masculinity in us and some femininity. So it's very difficult for me to kind of draw the line between men and women in that sense. When you talk about that's, we worked a lot on that also, on the way Christina moves as Raquel. I mean, mm-hmm. she, and how she's dressed, and we really wanted her to be, you know, not a very typical feminine girl, you know.
And what have the reactions been from the American audiences?
Oh, I think they're very surprised of the ending, but I won't talk about the ending now. But they but they are so, and they just find it, they say they find it refreshing, but I think there some are kind of shocked as well. With this doesn't happen in Scandinavia. Mm-hmm. You know, those questions and those reactions, you don't have them at all, never. I mean, in Norway, I mean, here people... I will, if I talk too much about it, I will reveal the ending. But it is a big difference there. And also, as you said, in the character of Raquel, mm-hmm. they really enjoy the character. And I've had also some reactions, that's actually in Norway, amongst young Muslim girls, mm-hmm. That thought, because in the beginning of the film, it's quite explicit sex. It's not even scenes, but it's like glimpse, mm-hmm. of it, and they have reacted by actually one walked out of the cinema and said, this is haram, this I can't see this. So, and this was but also that said, I've had also two Syrian sisters coming up to me, and this youngest sister was just crying, her tears were just like, so it's both, you know. Yeah. Some people get very strong negative reactions, and some get really emotional reactions.
Another wonderful character, and that's Ninja Baby himself.
Yeah,
he's animated beautifully, and but for me, it's like her conscience talking to her. And if I had that funny voice, I'd never want it to disappear.
Yeah, the idea came very late in the process of development, because Inga and I had worked on this script and with the animation, because we worked parallel on that. And then, you know, we were off doing other things, and I did, I worked on two seasons on Home Ground, which was a series in the broadcasting here. And I got to know Johan Fasting, a screenwriter, and he was also the showrunner of Home Ground. And I really loved his work and the way he wrote, and we really connected. And so I asked him, we were in the editing room, and I said, can you take a look at this and please help us out with getting this script? Because we were already enrolled in this program on the Film Institute of, you know, how
you were on your way. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was a program where it was all about experimenting, and it was low budget, but you can really, as a director, try out so many of your thoughts that it's difficult when the budgets are really high. So he said, yeah, sure. And then he came with Ninja Baby and lots of other wonderful, he came up with the name Dick Jesus, you know. He really kind of helped us get everything together and get ready to go. And then Ninja Baby was something that we, Inga and I, had talked about, this animated character, you know, like she being an animator or an artist and all of that. But we were so reluctant, and especially maybe Inga, because she was like, no, but it's not a film about me. And you know, we thought it was too obvious of a choice. You know, you have all these children's films about children talking to dolls, and we thought it would be too much of that. But when Johan came with that, it just felt very liberating.
And I don't want to spoil the ending either, but talking about this, I hope she does have mixed feelings about this pregnancy, which is also something we don't talk about enough in general, and which this Ninja Baby character sort of helps her and doesn't help her to think about. How did you approach Raquel or Raquel's feelings towards her pregnancy?
You know, in the beginning, it was based on how expectations you get to yourself when you get pregnant, that suddenly you feel like, oh, I should do this, or this is how it's supposed to be, and also the expectations from others. So it was more like trying to really get into those, the conflicting feelings that you can have while you're pregnant, both wanted and unwanted pregnancies, because it is not just one thing, and it's difficult to put into words. So why not make a movie about it, you know? Yeah. And those, the ambivalence, in a way, the ambivalence of what's next. And also, I think it was important for me to, it comes down also to gender in a way, you know, that becoming pregnant, not everyone can become pregnant. Right. So it's also about showing different ways of attacking that, right, attacking that feeling in that space.
If you look at this in without eyes from outside of Scandinavia, this is a girl. She's perfectly of age. She's really talented. She knows who the father is. She's in a country where she'll get lots of help. But her feelings and her thoughts have much more dimension in a way, and are much more complicated than her situation.
That's also why I wanted to make Raquel older, because in the book, as I said, she's 16, and the very first meeting with Inga, I said, we have to make her older. She has to be old enough to be able to take care of the child. And I don't want to feel sorry for her because, oh, she's too young to be a mother. You know, she has to become an adult first and then a mother. Because I find it very interesting also, that feeling that my daughters are just turned, I mean, they're early teens, but I still feel like I'm helpless, very much not able to be that mother. And that the feeling that you're not good enough is one thing, is that Raquel, it can be seen as a egotistic choice, but that she doesn't want this child, but it's not only that for me, it's also that she doesn't really feel that she's capable. Mm-hmm. You know, it's both.
Well, Ingvild, thank you so much. I wish you the best of luck with this movie all over the world, and I can't wait to see what you do next.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much to director Yngwild Sve Flicke. Don't miss Ninja Baby. It premieres in Sweden on October 29th. It's out in many other territories or coming out in theaters and on home screens all over the place. So don't miss that. And thank you so much for listening to Pop Culture Confidential. Please subscribe and rate the show. It helps others to find us. Thanks so much. See you next time.
I'm Ken Harbaugh, host of Warriors in Their Own Words, a podcast that presents the unvarnished, unsanitized truth of what we have asked of those who defend this nation. As a country, we need these stories more than ever. Stories from Americans who have borne the battle, including 30-year-old remastered interviews with veterans from World War I recounting their time in the trenches of Europe, and with veterans from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and from our most recent conflicts in Iraq, Afghanistan, and other battlefields Americans may never have heard of. Hear their stories by listening to Warriors in Their Own Words wherever you find podcasts.